For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. You may have learned in grade school that we're mostly made up of water, and water is necessary for a healthy life. My guest today is going to talk with us about clean water, water systems, and why we should never take them for granted. Dr. Amanda Abney Gumbert, Extension Specialist at the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture and a specialist in water systems. I wanted to talk with Mandy about why clean water is necessary for life and how we need to be more aware of our water systems around us. Well, I recently purchased and I'm in the middle of reading this book, Water in Kentucky, Natural History, Communities, and Conservation, and you contributed a chapter to the textbook that really intrigued me. And if we go on the supposition that water is life and that clean water is necessary for our healthy bodies and a healthy community, could you talk a little bit about how you got interested in water as a subject and the focus of your particular book chapter?
Well, Greg, it's kind of been a lifetime of preparation, I guess I would say. As a young adult in middle school, I was really lucky to have a devoted teacher who thought that learning about environmental science was really important for us. And so we spent a lot of time learning about water and air quality and solid waste and all the components of the environment and how we as humans impacted those particular pieces of the puzzle. And so fast forward a little bit, you know, coming to school, really got interested in soil and water science. And then I've had the opportunity it's been about 10 years now, over the last 10 years, to study and work in the Cane Run watershed. And so I've just really been fascinated by it, and I could talk for days about the Cane Run watershed. But I guess, mostly fascinated by the fact that it has lots of different land uses. There's urban, there's rural, there's industrial, and of course, agricultural. And all of those land uses impact the quality of the Cane Run Creek, but also the water in the Royal Spring Aquifer.
Well, one of the things we focused on the show about, in addition to latest medical technology and diagnostic and treatment modalities, is also very fundamental things like diet, nutrition, exercise. And water is inextricably bound with all of that, you know, not just the water coming out of our tap that we depend on to be clean and free of chemicals and bacteria, viruses, et cetera, but the food that is grown for us, of course, uses that same water. So what can we as just average citizens who depend upon and maybe take for granted, what should we be thinking about?
Well, first of all, I think we need to remember or learn about how everything we do every single day in our lives impacts the quality of the water around us. We can't exist without impacting our environment, and that's really reflected in the quality of our streams and rivers. The other thing I think that we need to think about is how we recreate. You know, in terms of interacting with a stream or a river, mostly our interaction would be recreational. And so if we're swimming or wading in those bodies of water, we need to really be aware of the quality of that water. So getting to know your local watershed and your local water body is very important.
My guest today is Dr. Mandy Gumbert, UK Extension Specialist, and we're talking about water systems in central Kentucky and also beyond and why we need to be aware of them for our health. So not only like wading in or drinking from, but also the things we do that can add to potentially the pollution of a stream or degradation of water quality. I'm thinking of, you know, if you're hiking somewhere, don't just use soapy water in the middle of a stream. And of course, watch where you get rid of your own personal waste. I mean, those are very fundamental things that if you go to the gorge and other places, sometimes you see that people forget about.
That's right. I think there's some, I mean, there are, I could give you a really long list of things that we could do every day, but I even think more locally in terms of where you live. And if you live in town somewhere, it's being aware of what you dump on the ground. So what chemicals do you use on your lawn? You know, do you need those chemicals? Do you pick up after your pet in the yard? If you take your dog for a walk, making sure you pick up that pet waste after, you know, your dog use the bathroom there. And then if you live on a stream itself, so if you happen to be lucky and have a creek or a stream that's on your property, doing things like maintaining a buffer zone, and that buffer being trees or shrubs or even grasses and blooming plants, you know, that are making sure those are native and that they provide a buffer between the upland activity and the creek itself. So not mowing to the edge of the stream is a really simple thing that landowners can do to protect the stream itself.
I was really struck in your chapter about the difference a few years ago at the Kentucky Horse Park and today, how they used to keep it mowed straight up to the stream, I guess to give an idealized vision of what a tourist might think a horse farm should look like, as opposed to a more responsible practice that they're engaging in now.
Right. I think it's kind of human nature that we are we want to have some order in our environment. And I think a lot of times that is reflected in how we manage the landscape. And so sometimes you, like I mentioned, you see people that will mow the grass right to the edge. Sometimes they'll get a weed eater down in the bed of the stream and to take care of what they perceive as weeds and something that's unsightly. And part of my colleagues here at the University of Kentucky, we've worked with property managers at the Kentucky Horse Park, at our own North Farm Research Station, and tried to develop strategies to have a balance between that manicured look or at least some level of control over the landscape, but also making sure that there's a benefit to the stream and to the local ecosystem.
I guess one thing that I keep thinking about from the book is the phrase, we're all downstream from somewhere. And with that comes responsibility to remember that we're also upstream from some folks.
Absolutely. And, you know, what the message I think that I tried to convey, as well as some of the other authors, is that we're not in this alone. We're not solo players. And each of us as an individual has an impact, and we need to be aware of how we're impacting our downstream neighbors in the same vein as hoping that our upstream neighbors are just as kind and polite to us and take care of that precious resource that we all share.
Mandy, is there anything I've not asked you that you would want our listeners to hear?
I think really going back to the thought that, one, learn about where you live, learn about your local watershed, and get invested. Get active, you know, take some initiative to learn more and to volunteer if you can about what's going on in your local environment. And then that translates to passing that information along to your children, your grandchildren, and others around you.
My thanks to Dr. Mandy Gumbert for talking with us about water systems and their importance to our health. As always, for more information, visit our website at WUKY.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at WUKY.org.